Hello and welcome to the Chamber Talks Business Podcast. My name is Sean Rose and I am your host for this podcast. Today we're going to be joined by Andrew Houston from CTT Group, but we'll hear from him a little bit later on. My co-host for this session today is Karen Shooter, who is a board director at the Coventry and Warwickshire Chamber of Commerce, but she also owns her own business. Karen, welcome to the conversation. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I'm slightly nervous about doing this, but thank you very much indeed for giving me the opportunity. My motto for 2022 is push the boundaries, and so I'm looking forward to doing exactly that today.
Tell us a little bit about your business, Karen. What is it you do in your day job?
So Exact Logistics is pretty much as it says on the tin, it's a logistics company, and a lot of people think, oh, logistics is just about moving stuff. Well, it is at the very basic level, but you have to think about how that whole process is managed, and that's where we come in. So it's not just about men in vans or people on forklifts, but it's actually about organising the whole process. We specialise in international transport, which of course has got a whole lot more complicated since Brexit. So as well as organising the physical transport to and from mainly European countries, mainly Germany, we also organise the customs clearance too.
Karen is also the chair of our rugby branch, and when I first joined the Chamber, my role was very much supporting those branches, and those that you bring together the MPs and lots of businesses to talk about issues. And I was always really inspired by how you chaired those meetings, because you never took any nonsense from anybody in the room and kept that conversation going.
Thank you very much indeed. That's good to know. Chairing a meeting, particularly with people who are quite confident, shall we say, and like to voice their opinions, can be a bit of a challenge. So I think, yes, you have to be quite firm and make sure that everybody has a chance to get their voice heard. Yeah, but I just want to make sure everybody feels welcome at those meetings and does feel that they've got something out of it.
Well, there's the call for any business that is listening to this call in Coventry and Warwickshire. Make sure you put yourself forward. Your voice matters to us, and we'll make sure you're on given that platform to speak.
Andrew, I have only just met you. I did a very quick recce on LinkedIn before we started this podcast today, which only gives me a very, very small part of the picture. So tell me, where did it all begin? What motivated you to go into wealth management, and how have you got where you are now?
Well, good afternoon, Karen, and thank you. Where did it all start? I'm reasonably local lad, grew up in Solihull. So the geography of Coventry in the West Midlands is very well known to me. My career, I didn't know where I really wanted to go. The one thing I did know was I loved sport, and I had an absolute obsession with playing rugby. And it was something that I learned a lot from in my experiences in the sporting world that then became quite useful later on in my career. If I'm honest, I stumbled into wealth management. I took a year out before I was intending to go to university, joined an investment management business, which I found really interesting. And during the course of working there, I decided I wasn't going to go to university. I was going to continue and build a career in wealth management. As I say, I started off as a trainee and finished when I left Barclays Wealth as the CEO of their wealth management business.
That must have seemed quite a brave decision at the age of 18 or 19 to say, I'm not going to go to university. I guess there was a lot of pressure maybe from parents or teachers to say, what do you think you're doing? How did that feel?
Very much so. And I think even still today, there are different routes as opposed to going to university. It's a very good route. But for me, what I probably started to realise was there was a career that I was interested in. There was an opportunity for me to grow. And also alongside that, I could continue with my love of sport, playing rugby at a club that was very close to where I was living at the time.
So you're saying you went from a trainee right through the ranks to be the leader of that organisation. Is that what you? That is what you said, isn't
yes.
it? So how does that?
How did it happen? I never planned it that way. I never set out and said, this is the job I'm going to start in and this is where I'm going to finish. But I was curious, and I had a hunger to learn, much of which came from sport. In a sporting world, you're constantly trying to improve yourself. If you're constantly trying to improve yourself, you can see, in most cases, your performance improving. And I applied the same sort of discipline to work. And throughout my career, people used to come and ask me questions. People used to come to me with problems, and I liked solving problems. And over the whole of my career, roles sort of came to me as opposed to me going to find them.
It's a massive vote of confidence in your ability and your skills. Over what period is this then? So how many years did it take to go from a trainee right to the CEO?
I might give away my age right now. So I started October 87. So if you can think back that far, that was quite a challenging period. We had the stock market crash. That was probably in my second week of joining an investment management business. I knew very little at that stage other than this was not a good period for the business or for the economy. So when there were problems that needed solving, I was a new boy. I liked to go and solve them. I was an individual that connected with people, so I connected departments. I very quickly learnt how the business ran. And there was probably over a period of the first 3 or 4 or 5 years where I rotated around different areas of the business, I got to see how every part of the business connected and the importance of each of those roles. So when somebody used to come and say something couldn't be done, I normally had not necessarily the answer, but I had an inkling as to how something might be done or how we could overcome a challenge. And throughout my career, people kept on bringing me problems. And as they brought me problems and I enjoyed solving those problems, I became more probably useful to the company. But that career, I said, that was in the very, very early days. Alongside that, I was playing rugby. So rugby was, if I'm honest, was my main priority. But what that was teaching me, I didn't appreciate it until I finished. It was teaching me discipline. It was teaching me the importance of teamwork, and the fact that a group of individuals can achieve a great amount if they can work in a collegiate and aligned way. I was recognising the importance of change. The world never stays the same. That's been proved over all the years of my career. And I wanted also to become a technician. So, you know, when you're in sport, you want to be the best you possibly can. If you're in a particular industry or wealth management industry, I wanted to be the best I could at looking after my clients. So that involved taking qualifications, working closely with other people, learning how to do things, taking great ideas from other people, and sometimes also taking, you know, what you saw as not good practices and recognising, actually, I don't know how to do something, but I know that's not how I would go about it.
Hi, I'm Julie. I'm one of the directors of Ulsters Kelly. We're a firm of solicitors here in Coventry and Warwickshire. We currently have 5 offices across the region, Coventry, Nuneaton, Stratford, Leamington Spa and Southam. And our role is that we provide a full range of legal services to individuals and their families. We've been members of the Chamber of Commerce here in Coventry and Warwickshire for an awful long time now, and we really value and appreciate the support that they're able to provide us, and also the platform where we can meet so many other businesses across the area.
Andrew, I think rather like logistics, wealth management is one of those terms that a lot of people bandy around. What does it actually mean?
That's really, really, really good question. You're right. We use lots of terminology, which sometimes to the public is not fully understood. So it's really about advising people on their finances and on their ambitions and their goals in terms of what they're looking to achieve for. So, you know, with any client, no matter what age, there'll be things that they may be aspiring to do. So in my early days, it was, you know, getting to the point that I could afford to get on the property ladder as I went through. So the next sort of, I suppose, 5 or 10 years, it was thinking about things like retirement. You know, what's that going to cost in years and years to come? So really, it's down to understanding your clients, and it's really about helping them work out what's really important to them, and then making sure they have a plan in place to support those goals or those aspirations that they specifically have. So wealth management incorporates all of that, and that might be just advice around sensible things in terms of making use of allowances that every individual has. It could be around where they have surplus capital, how you invest that capital in a tax efficient way and in the right strategies to hopefully achieve, you know, those long term goals.
One of the things that comes through very loud and clear from you is your people skills. And my experience in business is that whoever you deal with, whatever their qualifications, they need to have people skills. Already you've identified that you, in the early days of your career, you were good at making contacts. People had confidence to come to you. They wanted to come to you. It sounds like you've taken a lot of time with your clients to get to know them. And that's a real skill, drawing out of people what their ambitions are, what their worries are. I mean, would you agree that for anyone starting on any career, one of the major things they need to do is make sure they can communicate?
Absolutely. Communication is probably key to everything. My wife is a counsellor, and when I met her, I learnt the importance of communication in her work. If I'm honest, if I go back to my career, I didn't really recognise how important those skills were early on. I did much later in my career, as the complexities of what you were dealing with meant that you had to be really, really clear with how you communicated, what you wanted to do, how people could follow you, how people could align with you. And I suppose coming back to leadership, the greatest leaders I've worked with are those people that have clearly defined where one's trying to get to, and then brought the whole team together to work out what are those steps to achieve that. And that can only be done through understanding, you know, we're all different, understanding people, but finding the best way to get the best out of those individuals and collectively out of that whole team.
One of the most inspiring speakers I have ever heard was Sir Clive Woodward, who was the keynote speaker at a chamber conference a few years ago. And he obviously led the England rugby team to victory. But it wasn't by improving the rugby, but it was by improving the communication, the teamwork, the strategy. And I still remember one of his mantras, which was teacups, thinking clearly under pressure. And again, coming back to that point that you made about trying to get every little thing better and better. So they would rehearse endlessly. If we do this, this will happen. If we do that, that should happen. If this happens, how do we respond to that? And that was just so inspirational. It's so much more than kicking a rugby ball, isn't it?
It is, very much so. And I've read a number of books by Clive Woodward. And he talks a lot about incremental improvements, and it's so relevant to sport. You know, if everybody makes that small improvement collectively, that can mean a huge amount.
So you mentioned that you've read a lot of Sir Clive Woodward's books.
Yes.
You're obviously a fan of his. So what are the things that perhaps he brought to play on the rugby field that you've brought into your business life?
So I think the interesting thing about Sir Clive Woodward and what he introduced to rugby was a discipline and a level of professionalism that had never really been seen in the sport before. So he brought in, you know, specialists to help people focus and also build capability. And I think that's probably one of the big themes if I look both at my career, sport, and business. It is about building capability in people. And so for him, for me, it was a lot of small things in terms of one, the first starting point was recognising what you're trying to achieve. And his role as director of rugby was to win the World Cup. That was the goal, which clearly he achieved and still remains an amazing sort of milestone that hasn't been repeated sort of since. But he had a really clear focus on the goal. He had a real focus on building leaders within the team. So whilst there was a captain, you know, Martin Johnson, who was an inspirational leader to the team consisted of lots of leaders within the whole squad. So when there were moments of decision making needed to happen, any one of the most senior people on the field had the confidence to make those decisions and stand behind them. So I think he did a lot, both for rugby, but also many of those disciplines are really, really relevant to the day-to-day life in business. And it is about skills, and it is about building capability and, you know, teamwork.
Interestingly, Sir Matthew Pinsent was the keynote speaker at the last Chamber Economic Conference, and he echoed so much of what you're saying. One of the most memorable things that he said, actually, which made me think, was that even when he and had won a race, he still then went back to analyse it. What could we have done better? Even though we won, we cannot just rest on our laurels, because we know that our competitors will be going back and analysing their performance and making lots of incremental improvements. So we need to be doing the same so that the next time we can win too.
He was an inspirational speaker. I was at that annual conference, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. Again, sporting themes, but again, applying it into sort of the business world. It is about small incremental differences. And I think when Sir Matthew Pinsent referenced the distance one could travel in almost a second, that really brought it very, very much to light. But you're absolutely right. There are very small things that collectively, if everybody improves upon, as a business, you can get better. As a sports person, you can get, you know, much, much better in your performance. And I think all the greatest of people that I've either played sport with or worked in business with, even after a win, even after a success, they've always looked back to say, well, what could I have done better? I know in the business I'm in now, people still ask the question, said that was a good meeting, it went really, really well, but what was the thing that maybe we could have improved upon further? And I think that whole culture of constant improvement, development, and that can be at an individual level, or it can be at a collective level of individuals working together on a project or a group of leaders, is really, really powerful.
Hi, I'm Adam Dent from Advent Communications. We're part of the PLMR Group, which is a top 100 media and communications firm. Our office in the Midlands is based in Coventry. We also have one in Birmingham. We handle all sorts of PR, communications, social media, new media, website design, podcasts, videos. We've worked for the Chamber for 2 decades now, making sure that it's the premier voice in business across Coventry and Warwickshire. We're also members and get absolute full value from our membership. We've met a lot of clients through there, we've got a lot of networking, a lot of influencing. Really, we find it's the number one organisation to be a member of, and we're proud to work for so many of their members.
So, coming back to the business that you're in currently, you've had a very successful career in wealth management, talking to individual clients, I guess, and then you decided to have a bit of a change. Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, after 32 years at Barclays Wealth, the last few years as the CEO of that business, I stepped away from the business, partly as part of a restructure of the group. And I was looking for something to do that was different. Not because I didn't love wealth management, but I had this urge to, again, go and grow myself, develop myself, challenge myself in a slightly different way. And I looked at lots of different businesses, some in similar sectors, some in different sectors. And this opportunity at CTT Group, which was at the time Countrywide Tax and Trust Corporation, intrigued me because it brought together some important disciplines. Some of the world that I knew in terms of financial services, some of the world that I knew less, but legal services, and also tax. And I think most people today, you know, would assume that they need to go to a solicitor for any of their legal work, an accountant for their tax work, and a financial advisor. And a lot of what we do at CTT Group is legal, financial, and tax all under one roof.
So what's your client base at CTT?
So the client base is basically the professional advisor community. And if I break that down into a number of groups, firms of solicitors, firms of accountants, financial advisors, and sort of will writers. Anybody who's looking to help their clients, either in estate planning, which is probably better described as sort of death planning, but also can venture out into sort of lifetime planning. So it's thinking about wills, the use of trusts, but again, the theme of where I came from, helping people care for their loved ones and making sure their assets are protected.
So I looked at your website and there were two things that really struck me about it. First of all was the beautiful building that you're working in, and secondly, that you describe yourselves as problem solvers and solution providers, which is a very powerful statement. So tell me more about that.
Sure. So I think there's a few very unique things about CTT Group. One is the culture. It is very different. If you look at legal services, I think some people have a very traditional approach to, or traditional, very traditional perspective on what that looks like. We're not a traditional firm in any way. We are great advocates of using technology, developing software to deliver greater, better client experiences, to make sure that the service to clients is faster, to protect, you know, firms in terms of making sure they're managing their risk effectively. It was a very, very different firm. The culture of it is one that's interesting. It feels family-like, very different from the blue-chip world that I came from of a big blue-chip bank. I'm not saying that's wrong. It was just very, very, very different. But quite an infectious culture for a lot of the people who join the business. Once they're in it, they express the same sort of enthusiasm in terms of teamwork, the support, and the love of solving people's problems. And that's ultimately what we're here to do, is help other advisors through whatever problems they may have, whether that be how we can make their business more efficient, whether that's whether we can help them in terms of training, whether that's technical support. We have quite a lot in a beautiful building called Gables House here in Leamington Spa. And the business is interesting because it grew out of Kenilworth. And the business for quite some time was looking for new premises, and they were struggling to find something that really represented what we are. And I have to say, Gables House is a magnificent building, and one that sort of epitomises a bit of the different culture that exists within the business, and a wonderful place to work.
So how many people are in your firm?
There's a number of different businesses within the group, as I say, all covering sort of legal work, financial services and tax. And we have a strategic partner, which is an SRA regulated business. In total, I'd say in the building, we have just under 100 people.
Andrew, you come across as a very driven, very professional, very motivated person. What do you do to relax? And are you still playing rugby?
I'm not still playing rugby. I wish I could. I think my body's has told me it's time to stop. I had 11 operations in 10 years during both an amateur and a professional era. So I played professional rugby, obviously, for a short period of time. So no, I miss it hugely. But I've taken all those learnings and now apply them in the commercial world. And what do I do to relax? If you ask my wife, she would probably say I don't. The things that help me relax are, one, exercise. I find if I exercise and look after myself, both in terms of what I eat, what I do, you know, I sleep well, you know, even through difficult periods. So exercise has been really important. I guess it's been a discipline throughout my career, sporting career, that it's something that makes you feel good and helps you overcome problems. Outside of that, I'm studying at the moment some legal exams. You're never too old to learn new things. So I'm doing that. Is that relaxing? It's challenging, but it is. It takes your mind off other things. And I have three, my wife and I have three dogs, which also I quite find, and particularly through lockdown, you know, going for a walk, changing the environment that you're in, meant that we talked about different things to what we'd normally talk about when you're, you know, closed off in a house. So those are the things that I tend to do to sort of switch off, albeit my wife would say I never really do.
Hi, I'm Lee from City Fibre. I'm the Regional Partnership Director for the Midlands. We build full fibre networks and we've covered about 70% of Coventry so far, with the main build was due to finish in 2023, is likely to finish round about the middle of 2022. It's a great job, great area to be working in, and we really value our chamber membership because we get to meet lots of fascinating people, we get introductions where we need them, and also we get to come to some fabulous events. I strongly recommend it.
So Andrew, this is the part of the show where we get to know you a bit better. We've spoken about your business and your journey into the leadership role you do now, but it's now a bit of a time to get to know you. We're going to ask you some quick fire questions just to really get that feel for what you've been up to. So my first question, what was the first concert you ever went to and what was the best concert you've ever been to?
Oh, the first one. This wasn't a choice, actually. I went to see ELO at the NEC.
Coventry lad.
I was still in education at the time and my parents had tickets and there was a dreadful snowstorm, so their guests couldn't come and so I got invited.
And the best concert?
The best concert.
ELO.
That's really, really hard. I mean, ELO was very good. Very randomly, I was actually travelling through Nottingham and I won't say it was necessarily the best concert, but I stumbled through the Lace Market and there was a Coventry band, a very famous Coventry band, playing the Specials.
Oh.
And so, you know, that was an interesting trip down memory lane to my youth.
Andrew, if you were cast away on that mythical desert island, what would be either your luxury item?
It's a really tricky one. If you'd see me pack for a holiday, I'd take quite a long time. And on the basis I've only got three items to take. I don't think it'd be a book because I think I'd have finished that sort of quite quickly. Could I take a Spotify album or something that could keep me going for?
I don't think you have any Wi-Fi connection.
I think you'd have to have a solar panel and maybe one on loop. I think we could possibly let you have that.
Is there a quote that stuck with you, Andrew, throughout your time and that you used to this day?
There is one. For those of you who have watched, it's a documentary on the British Lions, Living with the Lions it was called, and there was a gentleman called Jim Telfer, and he made a quote as he was sort of rallying the troops ahead of a test match, and he called out to the team, says, "This is your Everest." And if you're a rugby fan and you've ever watched this, the hairs on the back of your neck just stand up.
So, again, what would your last meal be?
My last meal? I'm a foodie. I love all food. What would my last meal be? Oh, it'll have to be roast beef.
Right.
Andrew, is there anything about your younger self that you're doing now that you wouldn't have believed when you were younger?
There's a lot of things I'm doing now that I wouldn't have believed. I think if I reflect back, confidence comes with experience. And certainly in my early part of my career, I didn't have that confidence. People could see things in me, but I didn't believe it myself. So I think there's a lot. This is the first time I've done a podcast and we were talking earlier, you know. I was quite excited by that, a little bit anxious, but also it's always about pushing yourself through your comfort zone. So confidence, I think, is probably one of those things.
Andrew, that's a really, really interesting answer. How do you build that confidence? I mean, I think is it through this the sporting prowess that you've obviously had? Is it being well prepared? Because I always think being well prepared leads to confidence.
I think that there was a bit of both of those. So I like to be well prepared, and if you're well prepared, you generally have confidence. I think there's one thing that has been really, really important, and I think it probably comes with experience, and that is what drove me a lot of the time was fear of failure. And actually, you know, making mistakes, actually, you learn more from making mistakes than you do often from your successes. So in some ways, you know, fear is not a bad thing. And so I'd probably, if I were reflecting all the way back on my early part of my career, I'd be saying, make more mistakes, Andrew. You know, have the confidence to go try those things, because the more you learn at an earlier age, the more experience you have and the more confidence you have.
That's fascinating. I know loads of businesses that will be listening to that call will recognise that within themselves, that actually failure is what helped them to grow. Andrew, you've been a great guest on this podcast, and we always end the podcast with the same question. You've had an extremely successful career, and it is clear to go from a trainee all the way up to that CEO level is incredibly powerful. If you had the ability to go back to your younger self and give him one piece of advice other than confidence, what would it be?
Stretch yourself. Push yourself outside your comfort zone. That's probably the most important thing I could say to myself, and probably to anybody else that I work with, mentor or coach, is, you know, just constantly stretch yourself, because you'll never regret it.
Karen, I'd like to thank you very much for being a co-host on the Chamber Talks Business Podcast. It's been a pleasure having a board director here with us today.
It's been a real pleasure for me. I've really enjoyed our conversation. It's been incredibly exciting to do this today.
And a nice one to tick off your goals list for 2022.
Absolutely.
Andrew, CTT has been a fantastic supporter of the Chamber of Commerce, and we were so glad when you agreed to come and join us on this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. We've certainly enjoyed having you with us today. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I've had a thoroughly enjoyable time.
Well, thank you for listening to the Chamber Talks Business Podcast. I really do hope that you have enjoyed it. If you have, please do leave a rating and review on whatever podcast app you're using. It helps other people to find us, you see. We very much look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Chamber Talks Business Podcast.